Hey builders, welcome to another episode of Voxter's People of Growth podcast. I'm your host, Nate Elliott. Today we have an awesome guest. Her name is Kinsey Grant. Kinsey works for Morning Brew, a newsletter with more than 2 million subscribers, and she runs their podcast, Business Casual. Business Casual is one of the 50 most popular business podcasts. She's interviewed people like Mark Cuban, Andrew Yang, Barbara Corcoran, Scott Galloway. This was a really fun conversation. We talked about how she started at Morning Brew, how she thinks about mentorship, and lots of other good stuff. We also have some exciting news at the end, so stick around for that. But let's jump right into the show. Welcome to the podcast, Kinsey. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm really excited. You know, it's not every day that you get to interview somebody that has interviewed Mark Cuban, Andrew Yang, all these incredible people.
Well, I hope that I live up to expectations. I must say, though, I spend most of my time in your position, not being the one who's interviewed, but I'm starting to get a little bit more comfortable with it.
Yeah, it's fun to be on this side, but, you know, there's so much that you learn from talking to those people. So I like to get the other side of it sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is not lost on me how lucky I am to talk to all these people all the time, especially at you know, in my 20s. So it's been awesome. It's been a real privilege and a lot of fun.
So for those people that maybe haven't heard of Morning Brew or Business Casual or who you are, can you just tell them who you are and what you're doing?
Sure. So I'm Kinsey Grant. I am the business editor and podcast host at Morning Brew. I host our first audio product, which will eventually be first of many, but right now remains the only audio product, which is an interview-based podcast called Business Casual. We talk to some of the biggest names in business, some of the biggest influencers in the business space, and try to answer big questions is basically the gist of it. Like you've mentioned, we've gotten some really cool big people on the show, especially during quarantine when people have a lot more time to sit on their couch and record a podcast episode. And we cover everything from, you know, let's see, with Andrew Yang recently talking about getting paid for our data. We've talked about the future of capitalism. We've talked about some more specific things like Super Bowl ad revenue. And it's kind of runs the gamut. We just try to talk about cool stuff with cool people. And it's been really, really fun. We are at 4+ million listens, and we will be celebrating 1 year in September.
Awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So could you give us an idea how you went from graduating college to now? Like, that seems like a really big jump, but it hasn't been that long. So can you tell us how you got here?
Yeah, I've definitely lived a lot of media life in the last 3 years. I actually graduated college in 2017. I worked for a year at a company called The Street, which is owned by Jim Cramer of, you know, Mad Money, buy fame. So I worked with him for about a year and really just cut my teeth in terms of markets coverage and understanding the business world in general. I was a business journalism major in college, but there's only so much you can get when you're on campus. I'm a huge advocate for internships and for just getting out there and trying it and making mistakes at a scale that you feel comfortable making mistakes at, because I certainly made mistakes in that job. And, you know, after about a year or so, I realized that I wanted to speak to an audience that felt a little bit more like where I was in my life. I had been writing to a lot more institutional investors, older investors, people who had huge net worth, and I was, you know, in my 20s living in New York, and believe it or not, didn't have an enormous net worth at that point. So I'd heard about Morning Brew from some friends in college who were familiar with it when they were, you know, trying to get their investment banking jobs. And actually, one of the co-founders just reached out to me in a cold outreach on LinkedIn and said that they were familiar with what I was doing and were looking to add people to the team. And that was about 2 years ago now. I was the fifth employee, wow, first woman to stick around. And it was incredible to be able to take a lot more accountability over my work and feel like I was writing something for people who were like me, and writing something that people were really, really passionate about. The Morning Brew audience is a super engaged audience and one that takes what we do and what we put in front of them very, very seriously. And I liked that responsibility. And I liked also the creativity that came with it, that I could make jokes and get paid to make jokes and have fun and mess around with a bunch of other people in their 20s. You know, since then, the company has grown tremendously. We're at 50+ people now, and we have definitely moved out of the small six-person WeWork that I joined in, and we launched new products and new newsletters and now podcasts, and it's been insane.
Yeah, so it's so interesting. Was it Austin that reached out to you?
Yes, it was.
Like, I've talked to a lot of people that have done really cool things, and I would say maybe every single person that got a really cool job did it by reaching out, not being reached out to. So how did that happen?
Honestly, it was a huge stroke of luck. And I am a firm believer in, like, the harder you work, the luckier you get. But also, this was like just, yeah. I happened to check my LinkedIn that day, you know, and we had a great conversation, and I really liked the team. And I also think that I was in the position in my life to be able to take a chance on a company that had, you know, at this point, it was still taking a big risk.
Yeah,
to join
totally.
When I was the fifth person, a 4-person company, and don't really know what the future holds. It was barely profitable at this point. Now it's insanely profitable. And I recognize that that's a risk that you can only take a certain number of times in your life. And I felt I was 23 at the time, didn't have a ton of responsibilities other than keeping myself alive. So I figured, why not do it?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So that idea of the harder you work, the luckier you are. I was listening to the Business Casual episode where they interviewed you. And I think you said that you did 21 stories in one day. Is that true?
Yeah.
That's insane.
At the street. Yeah. Well, I mean, it was a totally different beast in terms of coverage. I was trying to break news as much as possible, covering markets in general, which was a massive undertaking. You know, I had a lot on my plate and I really loved doing it. But at a certain point, you need more bodies to write that many stories in a day. And it just got to be like insane. Like 21 is too many.
Oh,
at a certain
totally.
Point, you have to wonder like what the diminishing returns are on those stories.
And so kind of on that same thread of hard work, I was looking at your routine, your nightly routine. I saw an article that you wrote. It said that you don't leave the office till like 6:30. Is that right?
Yeah.
And what time do you get to the office?
Well, it's difficult now because the office is my apartment.
Yeah.
Under non-pandemic times, we would usually get in. I'm an early bird. I work my best in the morning, so I would like to get in by 8:15. And then usually ended up working until about 6:30 or 7. When I was only writing the newsletter, the newsletter writing team has much different hours. You know, we wouldn't set it at, you know, some days until 9 or 10 o'clock at night. And that doesn't necessarily mean we're in the office, but it just means that we have to kind of be on call that whole time. But yeah, it's part of the startup that you like sign on to. You know, you have to recognize that you're building something from scratch, and that takes, in a lot of cases, a lot of hours. But we've been trying really hard as a company as we've grown to recognize that with that growth comes the ability to create better work-life balance for everybody. When it was just me and one other person writing the newsletter, of course, we would have to stay up super late to get it done. But now that's not the case, which is great and a good part of growing at a startup. But it's also been really, really weird to navigate the work-life balance in quarantine.
Totally.
You get out of bed and it's time to go to work. And like I said, my most creative hours are typically during the early morning, like 6 to 10 a.m. So I would start working then. And then if somebody doesn't start until 9 and then they don't finish their day till 7, you want to be able to finish all the projects that you'd been working on. It's been tough for me to exactly, you know, get where I need to be, but hoping to get better.
Yeah. And hopefully eventually we can go back to somewhat of normalcy again, but
yeah, it's a big hope for me. I am on the record as not being pro work from home. I much prefer being in the office, especially hosting a podcast. There's just a lot that you miss when you're not doing it face to face, sitting across a table from someone.
Yeah, I liked what you said about those long hours and that kind of that big responsibility that comes with working in a startup. I'm trying to put myself in the shoes of somebody that, okay, maybe they are just graduating and they're about to go start their first job and they've never maybe had like a real job where they're working 40 plus hours a week and they're expected to really contribute, not like an intern or like a job that's like, yeah, you're here, but like a real contributor. I mean, I think that hard work is a skill, but how did you like gain that skill of being able to just put in those hours and grind? How would you tell a student to think about that?
I think you can only grind on something that you actually feel really passionately about. It's a totally different story if you're trying to force yourself to work 50 plus hour weeks on something that you don't feel excited by. For me at Morning Brew, I felt really, really excited by what we were building. And I felt that the people I was surrounding myself with during these days with very long hours also felt the same way. And that made all the difference to me.
Yeah, I noticed that's really true to me too. I'm in law school right now and I hate law school right now. And so putting in the hours is really rough, but I love working on this podcast. And so anytime that I'm spending working on that, like I could spend just hours and hours and it's fun.
Right.
But you do that thing that you hate and you're not passionate about, and it's like pulling teeth.
Yeah, exactly. It sucks. And I recognize the luxury of being able to do something that I do feel passionately about. But I will say that I think it's probably good for everybody at some point or another to work the kind of job where they're like, oh, I don't want to go in today. I really just don't want to do this project. I don't feel excited by it. Because then you recognize when you do land on something that really excites you, how awesome it is.
Yeah, it really sets that perspective. It gives you something to compare the good to, because good versus bad is way better than good versus kind of good, you know?
Yeah.
On the topic of, like we said earlier, you've interviewed like some incredibly famous and successful people, Mark Cuban, Barbara Corcoran, Ray Dalio, Meg Whitman. What is that like, talking to people? I have like a little glimpse of that, but never on the on that sort of a scale.
Yeah, I think that it gets easier every time I do it, but I definitely still have interviews where I go in thinking like, how did I get here?
Yeah, you know, totally.
Who greenlit this? I am 25 years old. I am in no position to ask Ray Dalio about the future of capitalism. But I try to remind myself every time that I wouldn't be in this position if someone didn't think I could do it. At least one person didn't think I could do it. And that's been a really, really useful way to kind of stamp out that imposter syndrome when you feel it creeping in, because it's a common dilemma for young people, especially who have, I know, anything going for them. They feel like, are you sure that this should be me?
Yeah.
But it should be. And I'm trying to get better about telling myself that. And I also just think a huge part of why the podcast has done so well is because we are big believers in innate curiosity driving conversation. I obviously go in with a ton of preparation and questions that I want to ask people. But when you have someone who has lived as much life and had as much experience in business as, say, Mark Cuban, the conversation is going to be interesting if you let it be interesting. So I try to just ask the questions that I think, you know, I would want to ask, but also there tends to be a lot of overlap between those questions and the questions that our listeners would want to ask if they had Mark Cuban sitting in front of them for an hour and a half.
Yeah, I love that. So from talking to all of those people, is there anything like a common thread that you've picked up that you've learned from all of them?
I think that a lot of the most successful people I've spoken to, and let's say measuring success in terms of net worth and business success, have all been really, really humble people. And the kind of people who think that they haven't really contributed all that much. Or they'll say like, oh, it's nothing special. I've just got, you know, billions under management. But humility is definitely a common thread. And maybe that is a little bit training from PR. But I think that a lot of it is genuine from what I can understand. And a lot of these people come from really diverse backgrounds. And I think that has been something we've paid attention to a lot in recent months, is telling the stories of people whose lives, you know, no one can exactly replicate the success that someone else has had, but to try and learn from the challenges that people have been presented with and replicate those in your own life in some capacity has been an important story for us to tell.
Totally. Yeah, I love that. That's something that with this podcast we try to do. I think there's so many normal people like just all around you that are doing like incredibly extraordinary things. Like if you knew like what their daily life was, like, I don't know, if I'm sitting on the subway and I see you sitting next to me, like there's no way that I would imagine that, oh yeah, she's probably going to work to talk to Mark Cuban today. Like,
yeah.
But that is people's real lives. And I think that people come from such diverse backgrounds. Like I come from a town of 8,000 people in the middle of Central Washington. And now I'm talking to Kinsey Grant, the host of Business Casual, from, I assume you're in New York City. Like that's so cool. And you can do such cool things even with like really different backgrounds. And I think it's so important to highlight that like backgrounds are different, people are different, and that adds to their value and that adds to their ability. And you can like make the most of your circumstances. And so that's something that I really appreciate that you do.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the best episodes of our show and the best projects even that I've been a part of at Morning Brew in general are when people who have very different backgrounds come together to work on something. We wanted from the get-go to be really transparent about like, I'm young and I used to be a markets reporter, and to let that kind of story be part of the podcast in general, because that informs the way that I approach the problems I'm presented with, the storylines I'm presented with, and allowing ourselves to say like, where we've been and how we feel, I think can really make a great project even better.
Totally. At Voxer, we really believe in mentorship. I think mentorship's hard. And I have like kind of a growing idea of mentorship, of whether you should have a specific mentor. I don't know if I exactly believe that, but I believe mentorship's important. How do you think about mentorship?
It's definitely important. I think that there are a couple different kind of mentors that in a perfect world I would have in my life. Obviously, growing that network has been kind of difficult in the last several months because of circumstances that we can't control. But I think that to really make the most of any sort of a pursuit in mentorship, you need to have a couple. To me, there's someone that you can ask about your personal life. There's someone you can look to within the company that you're currently working at and the company that you want to grow within. And then there's somebody outside of that company. And this is something that I've picked up on in interviews as well. People thinking that you should have more than one and they should all serve different purposes. I think it's great to have someone who's going to advocate for you within the company that you are currently employed at, because that means that you get those opportunities put in front of you. It means that you can have someone to turn to if you are confused by something or you want to talk about some sort of cultural aspect that you're not quite sure of. And that's super important. I think it's equally as important to have somebody outside of that who can offer that more objective view to say, and that doesn't really make a whole lot of sense from where I'm standing, or here's where I would want to be if I were you right now. And then it's also great to just have someone whose career you look up to ask questions about how your performance is, what you know, your personal life kind of issues. And I say all of this not necessarily feeling like I've nailed down all three of those, but I think the idea of having just one is not enough. And you should have a network of people that you can draw on and tap into when you have questions or when you want to question some sort of norm within your own career or your own life.
Totally. I've heard some people describe kind of mentorship as having a board of directors, like a personal board of directors. And I think that's really applicable. I mean, if you have a startup, you have all these different people with different backgrounds that you can go to for different things. And I know in my life, like if I'm having a personal problem, I'm not going to go like talk to probably one of my like law school professors or something like that. Right. I'm going to go talk to my dad or somebody that has a more intimate understanding of me. And I think that you're right, that having those different types of people that can help you. I like that you said somebody in the business and out of the business, because that perspective is so different from inside and outside. So I really, really like that.
Yeah. And I also think that I would just add, you know, cultivating these networking type relationships or mentorship type relationships doesn't have to be so scientific as we sometimes force ourselves to think that it needs to be. It's not like you have to formally like propose to someone, will you be my mentor? It's just having a relationship with someone that you check in on every now and then, and you feel like you could turn to them with a random email after a couple of months and it wouldn't be weird. To me, that's enough.
Yeah. I love that. I think a lot of people, I think like close to our age, have heard people talk about networking, like you have to network, and then that kind of becomes transactional. Like, I need to go meet this person so I can get this job, or I need to go meet this person so they can give me advice. And when your relationships are transactional like that, I just don't think there's a ton of value that can come from it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think some of the best conversations that I've had outside of interviews for the podcast have been just conversations with listeners, when we'll put out an ask saying, I want to get to know the people who listen to this podcast. Anybody got 15 minutes to just chat? Those can be so interesting just to hear people's stories. And in some cases, I think have been kind of groundworks for future relationships. And you never know what someone's going to end up doing at some point. So it's always good to just have a chat.
Yeah, I love that. So thinking of yourself as a mentor in a way, if you say, I don't know, a few years down the road, Voxter becomes successful and we have a cool conference and we have a big group of like college graduates and people early in their career, and you're the keynote speaker, and we say, Kinsey, you need to give a 1-minute keynote on the most important thing that they need to know for their careers or for their life, whatever you think is most important. What are you going to tell them?
I think my biggest piece of advice would be just send the email, just send the text, just make the call. The worst thing that could happen is that you get told no. We need to get more comfortable with being told no. It's never the end of the world. As long as you're okay with the worst case scenario panning out, you're going to be successful. You're going to find something that you're good at, and it'll all be fine. Don't be afraid of being told no.
I love that. That can be such a barrier to trying to like reach your goals, that when no doesn't become a fear anymore, then that frees you so much. So I love that.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I wanted to ask about one last thing before we wrap this up. So you started working at Morning Brew as an editor, correct?
I started as just a writer for the daily newsletter. Yeah. And then they bumped me up.
And when you started, Business Casual Podcast wasn't a thing.
Right. Yeah.
What role did you play in making that happen? And how did you, I mean, that's kind of, for a lot of people, that's a dream role. How did you land that?
Yeah. So it definitely is a dream role for me too. I will start by saying, when I started at Morning Brew, I made it very clear to them that I was passionate about the email product and I really, really liked what they were doing, but my background was in multimedia. Yeah. I had done a lot of work in video. Broadcast was my specialty in college. I had, you know, held every position that you could have within a broadcast television show, from like weather girl to producing the show itself. And I said, if, you know, if ever there is a future in which Morning Brew does something multimedia, whether that's video or audio, I want to be involved in it. And I made that ask before they even hired me. It was something that I put out on the table early. And when the time did come that we felt we were ready to do a podcast, we were ready to put some sort of audio product out into the world, that was still on people's minds. And so I was basically one of two people, me and now he's our strategy and ops lead. We went into basically like a WeWork conference room for a full summer and we came out with a podcast and it worked out. But I think that part of it is just saying from the early stages of your career what your ambitions are and not being afraid to make those known. Because I always wondered, if I hadn't said that this is what I wanted to do, would the right people have picked up? Would the notice have been given? Would I be where I am now? And I hope so. I would like to think so. But I think that having made those ambitions clear from the beginning was definitely an important factor.
Yeah, I really like that, because I think that, I don't know, I've been in an interview and they ask you, okay, well, what, like, where do you see yourself? And it's, I find myself trying to answer what I think they want to hear.
Right.
And when you just tell them like, hey, this is what I want and this is how I think I can add value to you, then they have like that, like kind of puts a little bug in their ear and like, look where you are now. Like, Who knows if you'd be hosting the podcast if you hadn't said that, if they would even done a podcast. So yeah. I think that's awesome.
And it's also just saying yes to things that make you feel uncomfortable sometimes. Before they gave me the host reins for the podcast, I hosted a lot of Morning Brew's in-person events when we would do networking events or sales events and things like that. I was always the person who would MC and host and facilitate these conversations. And it was really scary at first because you're in this room of 200 plus startup founders and they're all really successful and you have to kind of get over that fear. And saying yes to that definitely helped set me up to be in the position to host a podcast.
Awesome. Well, I love that. So finally, if people want to get to know you more, they want to follow along, they listen to this and they said, what is the Business Casual Podcast? I have to listen to it. How can they get to know you and follow you?
Sure. So you should definitely subscribe, download, rate, review, all that jazz. The podcast is called Business Casual. It is on any listening platform. So wherever you are listening, I'm sure we are there. And then if you want to get in touch with me personally, I'm on Twitter at Kinsey Grant, KinseyGrant. My Instagram is at Kinsey R Grant. And my email, because we are still big email people, even though now we do podcasts, is Kinsey@morningbrew.com.
Awesome. And Kinsey is very kind. And if you have questions for her, like, really do reach out to her. She's really helpful and a really awesome person.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, I try to answer everybody who sends me an email. So like I said, what's the worst case scenario? Exactly. I say I don't have time, but I probably will.
Love it. Well, thank you for joining us, Kinsey. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Thanks again, everyone, for listening. I really hope you enjoyed this episode. I know that I sure did. I really can't recommend the Business Casual Podcast enough. Kinsey does an awesome job. She's a way better interviewer than I am. So go check out her podcast, Business Casual. You can find it anywhere you listen to podcasts. Go give her a follow on Instagram and Twitter. And also check out Morning Brew. Subscribe, morningbrew.com. Really cool place, really cool newsletter. They have 2 million subscribers, so obviously they're doing a good job. And then, before you go, we have one little piece of news for all of you. We just launched our Patreon. We have some really cool different tiers and different subscription levels. We have a $1 level, and that gets you a thank you on the podcast. We have a $3 level that gets you a thank you, plus ad-free versions of the show. We have a $5 level, which I'm most excited about. It gets you a thank you every month, ad-free versions, and then access to a special community where we'll let you know ahead of time who the guests are gonna be. And then you'll have a chance to submit questions specifically for a specific guest. So we'll be able to hopefully provide more value for you and answer the questions that you really have. Finally, we have a $10 tier, which has all the other stuff, plus a quarterly free t-shirt. So, kind of bringing it all full circle, we started as a clothing company, now we do podcasts, but we still love clothes, so every 3 months, we'll send you a t-shirt. Go to patreon.com/voxterlife, VOXTURLIFE. Support us if you want to, we'd really love it, we'd appreciate it, it helps us keep doing this, We want to keep doing this as long as we can and as long as it's valuable for you. So any feedback you have for us is incredibly valuable. If you want to hop on the phone and say, hey, Nate, your podcast sucks, these are 10 reasons why, just text me, send me an email, nate@voxer.life. Like, I will hop on the phone with you. I want to know how to make this podcast good for you. So if you like it, tell your friends, subscribe, rate, review, go to our patreon.com/voxerlife. And until next time, keep building.